to a Fire for Effect minicast with myself, Andy Brown, Dave Green.
Hi, guys.
And director of PSC, Plastic Soldier Company, Will Townsend. Welcome to the show, Will.
Thank you. Hello.
So, Will, I think the first question, really, Plastic Soldier Company, most of our listeners have probably heard of you, but would you like to tell us what you do, how you started, and where you are now?
That's a leading question, yeah. I started PSC 8 years ago now. Prior to that, I'd been casting Chiltern miniatures in lead. We did resin buildings, what have you. And I could see that was just the wave of the new plastic stuff coming in. And we used to sell Valiant miniatures, and they were nice, but, you know, they're a little big, etc., etc., etc.
I have actually got some of your Viet Cong, I believe, for my 28mm.
Yeah.
28mm. I do bolt action Vietnam. Yeah, they were. They don't match with anything else that I've got.
Yeah, so that was a kind of a sort of a feeder, a primer for me back into the war games market. I'm a war gamer, and this was back in 2008, and things weren't good out there, and day jobs were scarce to come by. So as a sort of a short-term measure, I thought I would run a war games business. And of course, you know, once I get in, it's hard to get out. I love it. So yes, growing from those small seeds of metal and resin, it was plastic. And it was. Well, I thought I'm going to test the market with 172nd hard plastic figures. And then I was tinkering around with CAD design, CADing up vehicles. I was going to do some sort of low volume resin type stuff, a bit of fought in battle type of thing. And yeah. I was liking the idea of this multi scale stuff. You know, one sculpt or one design.
Yeah.
You can then scale up and down. So that was what I was tinkering with. And I hadn't really planned to do vehicles. And it was just, well, I'll just try to do some figures. And I hadn't thought about doing 15mm figures either. It was all going to be, because I'm an old-fashioned 20mm gamer, so it's going to be 20mm, 1.7 second. And anyway, so I remember having a chat with somebody, and they were saying, well, I think it was one of my toolmakers. Well, we could do some vehicles for you. We can do smaller scale, bigger scale, etc. So my actual first vehicle done was the 15mm T-34, all those, 7 years ago or yeah. whatever. And I think we sold many times over more T-34s yeah. than were ever produced by the Soviet Union in World War II.
Well, it was the option to have both turrets on the same chassis, I think, because previously you bought a T-34-76 or a T-34-85, and it was the first time that someone had gone, you can have both in the same set for a reasonable price.
Absolutely. And as a kid growing up with all the Airfix kits and the Matchbox kits and building kits, and it was why do these kit guys, there's seven kits for each option of a tank or a vehicle, and that's seven SKUs, retailers hate it, it's shelf space, why not cram as many options in to one box, spend a little bit more time, have a larger box, a larger kit, but get everything in, streamline it all, And I also thought that there was that, I've got to be careful what I say here, but some of those easy assembly 20mm kits, they were too simple. But of course, you got those really fiddly dragon kits with 7,219 pieces, or you've got the chunky resin wargaming things. So I thought, well, there must be a way that we can do that Goldilocks. They're easy build, but there's detail in them, there's all the options, there's stowage, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of grown from there, and we've really sort of refined it down to my guys will produce one sculpt for a figure or one vehicle, and they will do 20mm and 15. And got it down to a kind of fine art where we know what we do. We do the 15mm version first, and then we scale up from that. And we know that we can get away with certain things at 15mm that we've got to add in back in 20mm. So we're now, we're a well-oiled machine now. And interesting enough, actually, all that time ago, I mean, if people remember, my stated aim was to do three scales, everything in three scales.
Yeah.
Figure sets, vehicle sets, 28mm, 20mm, 15mm. And what we did was, with our very first set, was our 20mm Russian infantry. And we did it 20mm first, and then we did the 28mm version. And it's classic schoolboy error. We'd sculpted, CAD sculpted at 20mm, and just, boom, upscaled them. And of course, you lose detail. What we should have done was to sculpt it at 28mm, then gone down to 20 and tweaked a bit, then gone down to 15 and tweaked a bit. We got that right, going down to 15. We very quickly knew what was needed then. But unfortunately, then our first set there, they were fine, they were okay, but for the discerning wargamer, they didn't have that crispness of detail.
Yeah.
we then realised that we had to sharpen stuff up. So the Russian heavy weapons, they were sharpened up, and then we did a gun set. Now, ironically, of course, this was some years ago when we were in our first 2 or 3 years. This was 5, 6, 7 years ago, pre-Bolt Action, pre-Warlord Games. And my famous last words were then, well, 28mm World War II, it's all skirmish gaming. There's no need for vehicles. You shouldn't have vehicles. I still say it now, but I'm a lone voice.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's schadenfreude here. But so we decided that we would concentrate on 20mm and 50mm. And there is, I mean, we, you know, 7, 8 years on, we're 80 something kits now,
yeah,
in both scales. And when I say that, as, again, it's you know, one kit. Someone else will do that in 10 kits. So very proud of our 85 would be 200 for some other company.
I was very impressed with your SDKFZ 250 kit, which I've been playing around with recently. Because that's got so many options. And I was made the little recce, the armor cards with 20 mils. But I also had a bunch of half tracks I inherited that had no machine guns and no interior detail. I've been able to make two mortar half tracks and normal half tracks by taking the spare bits off the sprues and going, well, I've restored them and rescued these models.
That's the joy of plastic. You know, you can kit bash very easily. I mean, I'm a ham-fisted modeler. I've got five thumbs on each hand. But hard plastic, you know, snap, 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 glue, 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 it's very easy to kit bash if you want to.
Well, obviously, you're here decked out in a full RAF uniform.
Oh, yes.
So, Can you explain some of the games? Obviously, it's, you're promoting one big game here.
The Battle of Britain. Now, unfortunately, I've just missed that 75th anniversary. And that's what kicked it off last year. Was, I mean, we all love Spitfires. We all love ME-109s. And I had the old classic from that was published in 1995. And it was a game by Richard Ball. And as everyone knows, our first ball games were Commands and Colors, you know, World War I with Richard Ball. Lovely guy. And last year, I went to the Goodwood Big Wing with the 40-odd Spitfires and Hurricanes with my dad and got very overexcited. And came straight back, Richard, can you redesign your 1995 game? And can I have it by Christmas? So we can get that 75th anniversary. So anyway, he's nearly finished upgrading this old classic into a more modern, streamlined game. The old game was fantastic, but it was a little long, so he's managed to streamline some of the dogfighting techniques. So anyone who knows the old game is going to go, oh, yeah, it's nice. And it's been redesigned and modified by the same designer, so there'll be no worries that it's going to be hacked to bits. So they're going to love the game because it's upgraded at an old classic. But if you're new to it, you know, you're far too young to have known the original. So there's a whole new market. They're going to enjoy this. And it's one of those games that's easy to learn. So it's going to be good for us old war gamers for a bit of fun. And he's made it 2 to 4 players, so 4 mates around a table with a beer. You can play in an evening. Yeah. But it's also, as we're finding at the show the last 2 days, it's attracting non-war gamer crowd. It's dads and sons.
Yeah.
And I'm very keen on that. I mean, I love my hobby. I love I love my friends I play with. And my customers. I love my customers. But, you know, I'd like to reach, you know, larger markets.
Yeah,
and teaching aids in schools, you know, dads and sons, that sort of thing.
It's the next generation, isn't it? You know, and it's like that's the whole thing that drives the industry, because, you know, obviously the older war gamers would love to live forever and carry on buying and playing games, but, you know, you need the young blood to drive it forward.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just as a hobbyist within the hobby, we want a hobby to live and thrive. And I know that, you know, for many years there was this, oh, it's a graying hobby, and, you know, we need fresh blood. It's dying on its feet. But actually, I think in the last few years, in recent times, we're going through a golden era. You know, miniatures gaming, you know, that everyone's thriving, the Warlord Games and the Flames of War, Plastic Soldier Company, you know, we're all bringing, and I think driving that crossover from the board game market is so much bigger. And the board game market, people are playing board games more now, which is great to see. Kickstarter's helping all of this as well. So I think that the tabletop market can feed a lot and take a lot in from the general board game market as well. So yes, I think our hobby is in good, healthy hands at the moment.
Yeah. So speaking about the Kickstarters, obviously we had the Great War board game launched by Kickstarter. How did you find the Kickstarter experience?
It was a steep learning curve. Yeah,
that's not the first time we've heard that this weekend.
Yeah. I still say, and we will do it. We will be kickstarting pretty much every board game we do because it's good marketing, and, you know, they're expensive things to produce, and cash flow is always tight for small companies. So to be able to get, you know, a chunk of, if not all, the aim is to get your first print run funded. Really.
Yeah.
And it is good marketing. Everyone's heard of Kickstarter, so you know it's a twin randomy. My only worry is that I can see, you know, it's almost getting overused, and you know there are only so many hobby pounds, hobby bucks out there, and it's becoming a little bit diluted. So I think you've got to be careful. And there's, as ever, there's a lot of trash out there and stuff that really shouldn't be around, and it kind of dilutes, I think, sometimes.
I can think of a few companies that have come up with Kickstarter games, and everyone gets all excited when the Kickstarter goes, but then no one seems to play the games afterwards. You go down to the club and people are still playing the same games.
Absolutely. The key is, as a games company, is that you've got to pick those projects that are going to be enduring. And the surefire thing is to find something that you can roll out as expansions. And Commands & Colours The family of companies that publish the Richard Ball games, he and they have realized that you have your core game and you roll out expansions. It's the same with you know, the standard Flames of War tabletop miniatures stuff, our stuff. You know, you've got to keep releasing stuff, you know, keep things fresh. And you know, we sell as much of the old kits as new kits, but we know that you've got to be a shark. You've got to keep moving. You stop, you sink. You know.
Well, speaking of the Great War, have you got any further plans to expand that? You know, introduce maybe a new side, the French, or
absolutely. We had the tank expansion out 2-3 months ago. The next one will be the French Army expansion, which we've got. It's a big one. It's going to be 1915 to 1918. Rich has done all the scenarios. There's some new rules being introduced. Some of the new rules are going to be some special figures that you will attach to units. So command figures, sniper figures, engineers, sappers, miners, I can't remember what else, but there's quite a few of them. So there'll be these special figures on square bases that you add to units to increase. Yeah. And what we're going to do, there'll be, as well as the French Army expansion, we're going to, because that'd be introducing all those new special advanced rules, we're going to release as well a small little booster pack for British and German, so you can add all those in. Yeah. So that is, it's all been sculpted, it's all been designed, scenarios. Rich is very busy, I'm very busy. Yeah. The plan is that we're going to release that later in the year, okay? And then, just after that, we're going to do the Eastern Front, because then that very neatly leads on to the next one, which will be 1914 early war Warhorse, which means that if you've got the Russians, the Germans, the Brits and the French, the core figures and the core bits for that, we can just add on your Cossacks, your Uhlans, your cavalry, whatever, cuirassiers and all of that, yeah?
So are there any plans for some new tanks in the French expansion as well? Are we going to see the FD-18?
Thank you for prompting me. I was just about to say that the French Army one will be big, because what we're planning on doing, it'll be everything you need. So it'll be French core figures with the mortars and the machine guns, these new special figures, artillery, we're aiming, I'm not going to promise yet because we've got to see how it goes, but we're aiming to have both the Saint-Chamond and the Schneider in the French expansion, like we did with tank. So they'll be pre-made, pre-assembled. Yeah. Now, I'm actually saving the FT-17 to go with the Yanks, with the They're Over Here expansion, which Richard wants me to do earlier rather than later. But I say, well, historically, Richard, you're a little late anyway, both times round. Yeah. So actually, you had to wait, right? So that's going to be about 2-3 years away. But we're going to do a really cool air pack, which I can't wait. We're going to have, you know, it's going to be Red Baron. We're going to have balloons in there. So there's a very carefully, you know, organized plan. In fact, I think Richard has pretty much done everything. So it's up to me now to release it.
Yeah. I mean, I must admit, I know certainly, like, even from a Flames of War point of view, an FT-18 in plastic would go down quite well. There's a couple of funny German tank companies in late war or early war.
Don't start me. Anyone who knows me knows I've got this Tiger Panther allergy, and I have to have everything funky. So everything's 21st Panzer. if we're not playing early war or desert, then, and I'm forced to play Normandy, is only ever going to be 21st Panzer with something funky in French.
Bathtubs with pack 40s mounted on.
Yes, exactly. I like that, yeah.
So is that going to be the next Plastic Soldier project then? We're going to see the S-4.5 Jacks.
Right, you've hit a real nerve there, because it's that one of the joys and the curses of being a wargamer and a hobbyist, is that I want that. I want that. Now, whether there's a market for, you know, 30 years war skirmish games, yeah. I don't know. So I've got to be very careful that I don't just go, well, I want it, so everyone else is going to have it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is my day job, so I have bills to pay. So I have to be careful what I do, and things have got to be commercial.
I mean, something I think has been suggested before has been a Panzer II kit with a couple of variants and maybe a Vespa and a Marder.
Absolutely. Now, one of my favourite kits, one of our best, I'm very proud of it, was our 38T with Marder options kit. When I started
also
doing
a big
it,
fan
it,
of that kit.
I think everybody in Stockport has got copies of that kit.
It did start out with, I wanted everything on there. All the Marders, all the Gorillas and the Hetzers and everything.
Yeah.
And I got the artist doing a piece of artwork that had everything on it.
Yeah.
And then I quickly realised how the artwork could be done. There's no way on God's earth that we could fit all in one. It would be a massive kit. So unfortunately it has been split into two, and I get so many people every week going, where's the Hetzer? No, it's coming in the next one. Anyway, so yes, it will be very much a Vespa and a Marder 2 kit, with probably the options for a Panzer 2 as well. But, you know, there are 15mm Svezda Panzer 2 kits. There are 20mm. We sell the S model Panzer 2. There are two or three types of those.
Yeah.
And we sell the Svezda 15mm. So whether we'll actually just put the Panzer 2 options in there.
Yeah.
But, we'll see.
Personally speaking, I do prefer the Plastic Soldier kits over the Svezda kits.
Yeah.
The Svezda Panzer 2 is a bit out of scale in length as well, so...
It is, isn't it? It is. So, I mean, it's funny because the... The weird thing is that they're really well engineered kits, those simple snap together kits.
Yeah.
And they were designed for this quite strange board game that they had. I shouldn't say that, the wonderful board game that they had. And they realised that they were selling far more to the tabletop market with these lovely. And I actually really like them. And you know, when we've been playtesting and prototyping some interesting little games that I'm going to tease you all about now, leave it there. That I tend to use the Svezda ones because they're snapped together and very quick. So I'm a fan of the Svezda ones. But if you're the kind of wargamer that likes to have a commander hanging out the turret and wants a little bit more to it, go PSC. But usually they're doing kits that we're not.
Yeah. Any chance of a Panzer I as well? Jagdpanzer 1?
Now you're pushing it. The Jagdpanzer 1, again, I like that. And I think that there's... And you could do the funky SIG 33 thing with the... You know.
And there's a armoured one as well, the Panzer 1F.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a few options, saying.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, thanks for that, Will. I was getting tired of Dave's fanboying out of it.
Next.
So what's obviously Battle of Britain is going to launch on Kickstarter. Yep. After that, what's the next big thing?
Board game wise, or
either or really anything?
Well, the plastic kits, we've got a continual rolling program, and the next plastic kit cab off the rank will be 25 pounder. 15mm always comes out first, and then 20mm. I won't say much more to say that is going to be a cracking kit. Everything you could possibly want and more,
Are there going to be a few options on that kit?
Absolutely. We are Plastic Option Soldier Options
if
Company.
Say the word pheasant.
Pheasant.
The 17-pounder.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm not going to say it much more than that we're going to try something a little funkier, something different, with the 25-pounder. Yeah, and the release of. So watch this space, everyone, in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
yeah.
And I want that to be our best kit ever. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, and then there's a rolling program of kits. Still lots to do for World War II kits. I could spend the entire rest of my career and life as a hobby manufacturer just doing plastic kits. Board game wise, a lot more of the light war game strategy games.
Yeah.
Mostly with plastic pieces. That we do plastic, you know, we want to produce nice games of plastic pieces. So you'll see a rolling program of these nice commands and colours, Richard Borges. I've got some other interesting projects with him running at the moment, which more will be revealed. We've got a very good co-publishing deal with Worthington Publishing in the States, Hold the Line, and various other games. Now, with that, one of my most exciting things I'm personally very excited about, this is where I can be excited and commercial. We're doing Hold the Line with them, okay? And that's
American
been
Revolution game.
Sorry, sorry. Yes, yes, that's it. That's one.
Sorry.
Everyone knows all the line, don't they? So, so and we're remastering that with our plastic pieces, and we're doing a co-publishing deal where we're doing Europe, UK and Europe. They're doing US and rest of the world. Their game, but we are co-publishing with them. And we ran a Kickstarter. It went so well. They love what we're doing. They love our pieces. What they said is that they said, "Will, do you like Zulus?" Yes. Well, our very first game was Victoria Cross and then Victoria Cross 2, which is a really great game. You know, again, fast, fun game. Rorke's Drift is Sandiwana. Now, to me, this is just wonderful. I'm doing my two favourite films as games in 12 months, Battle of Britain and Zulu. So we're remastering their old Victoria Cross. And we're going to call it Zulu because it's quite different from the original game. It's going to be much more cooperative. It's going to be with plastic, so you can be Colour Sergeant Bourne, Steady Boys. And, you know, that's going to be next year, but that's one of my exciting things that personally I'm very excited about.
If we close it off then, while we're talking about Zulu, give us your best Michael Caine impression.
I always get it wrong, but you only meant to blow the bloody doors off. That was a bit of an Australian Michael Caine, but anyway.
Michael Caine from Melbourne. So one quick last question.
Go for it.
Most gaming shop owners say, or they open up a gaming shop or a gaming company, they now have no time to do the hobby. Is that true? Do you manage to squeeze a hobby project in now and then?
I do. And my wife knows that it's very important research, darling, and I have to do it.
Brilliant. Will Townsend, thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.